I'll be reading verses 1 through 21 of chapter 18 of 1 Kings. Now it happened after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the face of the earth." So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria. Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For when Jezebel destroyed the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50s in a cave and provided them with bread and water. Then Ahab said to Obadiah, "Go through the land to all the springs of water and to all the valleys. Perhaps we will find grass and keep the horses and mules alive and do not have to kill some of the cattle." So they divided the land between them to survey it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Now as Obadiah was on the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he recognized him and fell on his face and said, "Is this you, Elijah, my master?" He said to him, "It is I. Go say to your master, 'Behold, Elijah is here.'" He said, "What sin have I committed that you are giving your servant into the hand of Ahab to put me to death? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent to search for you. And when they said, 'He is not here,' he made the kingdom or nation swear that they could not find you. And now you are saying, 'Go say to your master, behold, Elijah is here.' It will come about when I leave you that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you where I do not know. So when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find you, he will kill me. Although I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. Has it not been told to my master what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord, that I hid 100 prophets of the Lord by 50s in a cave and provided them with bread and water? And now you are saying, 'Go say to your master, behold, Elijah is here.' He will then kill me." Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts live, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is this you, you troubler of Israel?" He said, "I have not troubled Israel, but you, Ahab, and your father's house have, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed the Baals. Now then, send and gather to me all Israel at Mount Carmel, together with 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent a message among all the sons of Israel and brought the prophets together at Mount Carmel. Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people did not answer him a word. "I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. Real service is what I desire. I'll serve you any time, dear Lord. Just don't ask me to perspire. I'll do what you want me to do, dear Lord. I'd like to see things come to pass. But don't ask me to teach boys and girls, oh Lord. I'd rather just stay in my class. I'll do what you want me to do, dear Lord. It is for your kingdom that I live. I'll give you my nickels and dimes, dear Lord. But don't expect me to sacrifice when I give. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll say what you want me to say. I'm busy just now with myself, dear Lord. I'll help your cause some other day. Doesn't sound like the heart of our Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I believe we are to do likewise. As followers of Christ, I believe what we signed up for was service. Service for our Master who has served us by even giving his life for us. As I read Ephesians chapter 4, and as you get around to verse 11 and 12, it says God gave different people to the church, pastors, evangelists, teachers, etc., to do what? For the equipping of the saints, to do the work of service. God gave gifts to those who preach, who teach, etc., to do what? To build up the body, to equip the body to serve. Someone has said, that is Vance Havner has said this, one of the most quoted preachers of all time, many come to sit, but will not go out to serve. Robert Cunningham says, some folks are poor spellers. They think service is spelled S-E-R-V-E-U-S. How do you think it's spelled? How does your life spell it? Not your wife, your life. A good question to ask yourself, and I hope you sincerely ask yourself that question. How does my life spell service? Are you being like Jesus, and are you committed to serving him? In our study of Elijah, we saw him trusting God to provide for him at the brook Cherith through ravens. Yes, they were stinking, filthy, dirty ravens. And then he went on after the brook dried up. God told him to move on. And God told him to go to where this poor widow was to provide for him. All she had was a little flour, basically, and a little oil. And God said, go, she's going to take care of you. Or I'm going to take care of you through her. He was just willing enough to go. After he went somewhere, God provided for his food, and God provided water, then the brook dried up. He sends him on, and yes, for day after day after day after day, God provided and multiplied that flour and that oil so that not only was he provided for, but her and her son were provided for. And then lo and behold, her son died. And Elijah happened to believe that God would raise him from the dead. So he said, don't worry about it. God will take care of it. And God did. Now, in our next episode, we see God ordering Elijah to walk into the teeth of danger and to confront King Ahab. And I believe as we look at the scriptures today that through the example not only of Elijah but also Obadiah, I believe that we will see what it looks like to be truly committed to serving God. And I hope and I pray and my desire is that for my life and your life, it will look this way. If not today, tomorrow. If not tomorrow, very soon afterward. We look at 1 Kings 18. verses 1 through 21, we will discover instructions on how we are to serve the Lord. So these are instructions that I think we can glean from the Scriptures that will enable us to know how we can be like Elijah and Obadiah. From their life, I think we can see these instructions from God. And the first is in verses 1 through 14 on how we are to serve the Lord, first of all circumstances. We serve the Lord in all circumstances, even when it is difficult. Yes, we serve the Lord even when it is difficult or inconvenient. We see in verse 1, God commanded Elijah to go and face the wicked king Ahab. Let me read you real quick, in case you don't know who he was or how God describes him. In chapter 16 of 1 Kings, it says about him, Ahab also made the Asherah. Thus Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel than all the kings of Israel who were before him. The most wicked. And this is who God said, you go see. And what did he do? He went. I think we see a pattern here in the life of Elijah. When God says do something, he goes and he does it. He went in obedience to God. He served even when it was not easy or convenient. And in verses 7 through 12, we see not only did Elijah go and serve God and continue to serve God, even when it was difficult and inconvenient, but also Obadiah. Facing what he thought would be certain death, folks. Remember, he said, if I go to Ahab, I'm dead. In other words, that's my death sentence right there. What in the world are you doing? Is basically what he asked him. You're sending me right into death. But he still served the Lord. And even prior to that, it says he served the Lord and risked his own life earlier by providing food and water and shelter for 100 prophets. He put 50 over here and 50 over here. Put them in a cave. They had a roof over their head. And he brought them food and he brought them water. Now that was difficult. That was inconvenient. That was dangerous. And yet he served the Lord. He went in obedience to do what God called him to do. What difficult circumstances do you face today as you obey God's call to serve? What is it God's calling you, not me? What is God calling you to do? And you're dragging your feet because it's difficult or it's inconvenient. I hope you will learn from Elijah and Obadiah that we are to and we should serve God even when it is difficult, even when it is inconvenient. You've got an uncooperative people around you. You got a tyrant boss. You have a harsh teacher. Well, I can't serve God. She's mean. Or you got parents that don't cooperate with you. Wait a minute. That's exactly opposite of what it should be. You're to be honored and obeying them. Or you got uncooperative kids, you can still serve God and be obedient to do what God has called you to do, even when it's tough. In all circumstances, we are to serve God. Remember Psalm 57:2. You've heard it from me many times. You'll hear it from me many more if you hang around. I will cry out to God Most High, who's above all else, nothing is above him, to God who accomplishes all things for me. For us. We cry out to God Most High and we continue to trust him to accomplish that which he's called us to. No matter how difficult it may seem, no matter how inconvenient it might be, we're to serve God. Yes, but I want to rest. I hope nothing distracts me from watching a football game next Sunday night. But I hope at the same time, if God calls me to serve and do something during that time, that I'd be willing to go. And that's giving up a whole lot, in my opinion. I've been a fan of that team for 46 or 7 years. And I like football. That's a very trivial thing in comparison to serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in eternal matters. But I say that to put it in perspective, that a lot of things that make it inconvenient for us to serve the Lord are just trivial, temporal matters that we put before God. We call it inconvenient. It's not inconvenient. We're just stubborn and unwilling. God is still God, regardless of the circumstances, so I can trust God Most High to accomplish it for me and through me. Even when it is difficult in all circumstances, difficult circumstances, but also, here's the secret, doing it out of reverence for God. Doing it out of reverence for God. Look at verses 3 and 4. Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household. Now, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. He feared the Lord greatly. Look at verse 12. Brings it up again. It will come about when I leave you that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you wherever I do not know. So when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find you, he will kill me. Although I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. What a new thing for him. Since his youth, he had been fearing the Lord, and he feared him greatly. So out of his reverence for God, that's what took over. Even though it was difficult, he had such reverence for this God, such a holy awe for this God, that he couldn't help but serve him. Nothing could come before serving God because of the great and awesome God that he is. 1 Samuel 12:14 says, "Fear the Lord and serve him only." Fear, reverence for God is the motivating factor for serving him. Not that I'm scared of God, I serve him, that I have this respect and awe for him that compels me to serve him in all circumstances. Reverence for God keeps you going when the going gets tough. I ask you this, are you committed to serving God under all circumstances? The second instruction, I think, on how we are to serve the Lord is without compromise. We are to serve the Lord without compromise. Verses 15 through 20, we find this. Without compromise, look at verse 15. Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today. I'm going to be before Ahab." That's what he said. "I don't care what happens. I'm going to do it." That's the determination that you and I should have, that we are determined to serve the Lord, no matter how difficult it might be, no matter how impossible it may seem, we're going to stick in there, hang in there, and we're going to serve the Lord in obedience and out of reverence. He was under orders to obey, and he was under orders to obey this God, but to trust him as well. Because he was the authoritative God who is over all. Look at Obadiah, verse 16. Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab, and he told him what he was to tell him. Although, keep in mind, it could mean his life. He was determined. Elijah was determined. Obadiah was determined. Though he expected to die, he was still willing to obey and go to Ahab. What I see here is that neither one of the two delayed in hopes that God would come up with some new and different plan. And I do that. And I have a sneaking suspicion that you do that once in a while. Matter of fact, I have facts to prove that some of you do. I'm not naming names right now, but I've talked to some of you who, just like me, you knew what God wanted you to do, but you didn't like that plan, so you were just delaying long enough for God to come up with another one. You know, God came up with it a long time ago. I mean, we think, okay, if we stall long enough, God's going to sit up there, and on the eternal grand scheme of things, he's going to figure out something that he's already figured out before the world ever existed. Because he knew it all then. And he still knows it all. In other words, we're not going to change his mind. We're not going to change his plan. What we might better do, I suggest, is get in line, cooperate and obey and serve and trust. No matter how difficult the circumstances, we must be determined to obey God and respond to his orders. They were determined. They had determination to obey. But also we see in the life of Elijah particularly, he was boldly speaking the truth. Look at verse 17. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is this you, you troubler of Israel?" Wow. What about an attack? You rotten guy, look at you. You're just a troubler. You're causing all these problems. What was happening? Ahab was pointing the blame away from himself and blaming it on Elijah. Which, you know, that's pretty common. Aren't we good about that? Not me. You think about it. What happens when you're caught with your hand in a cookie jar? When you make the mistake, what do? Yeah, the woman you gave me or the children you gave me or whatever else it might be. Boy, that's going to be a rough night for Robert. She's sitting real close to him. He's got a door and a soundboard between them. So. But isn't that common? We want to blame someone? That is human nature. That's the desire of the flesh to point the blame somewhere else. That's what Ahab was doing. He was pointing the blame, shifting the blame, but Elijah confronts him head on. He tells him it was the abundance or the abandonment of the word. You and your people abandoned the word of God and you even worship Baal. This is what brought about the downfall of this proud nation. It was you. And you were leading the people into idol worship. You were abandoning the true and only real God. But don't you go shifting the blame somewhere else. Accept the blame. You did it. You accept it. He probably said it with a little more grace than I'm saying it. Maybe. I don't know. But he hit it head on. He boldly spoke the truth. Why? Because that's what God had called him to do. You think that was easy? To go to this evil king and to confront him and to hit him head on with the truth? He spoke the truth in love. He didn't avoid it. He didn't ignore it. And he did not compromise. Nor did he hope someone else would do it. God's called you to do that. God's called me to do that many times. And you know what we do? We sit around once again waiting on God. Okay, God, I know that I'm probably the right one to confront my brother or sister in love. But I don't like doing that. And I stand before you as one who hates confrontation. And I avoid it. But it's part of serving God. If I'm going to be a true servant of God, I'm going to be willing to speak the truth in love for the glory of God and for the benefit of his kingdom and his people. And if I really love someone, I'm going to speak the truth to them because it's going to help them in the long run. If I don't love them, I'll ignore it. And who cares? They get out there and stumble and fall all over the place. But I could help them grow stronger in Jesus by sharing the truth in love. That's part of serving God. When we compromise, Instead of confront, it does harm to all involved. Elijah boldly called Ahab to assemble. Not only did he confront him, he said, "Now I want you to assemble all the people." You realize he's telling the king this? "Hey, dude, you're wrong. Accept the blame. Now, get all the people together." That's what I call boldly speaking the truth. Because he was under orders to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It is told of the Spartan mom when the Spartan goes out to war, that she gives him a shield when he's going to battle and says, "Either this or upon this." That's true sacrificial service. That's service without compromise. Are you serving God without compromise? Third instruction on serving God is with complete loyalty. Serving Him with complete loyalty. Wow, look at verse 21. "How long will you hesitate between two opinions?" In other words, what he is saying to the people, no more wavering. No more wavering in your loyalty to this God. The people, he says, were hesitating between two opinions. That word that's used there, some translation, mine says hesitate. Some say halt. Some say waver. And that word gives the picture, really, of someone as if they're intoxicated, swaggering, fickled, wavering between two loyalties. Wavering between two loyalties reminds me of Matthew chapter 6 when Jesus said, "You cannot serve two masters. You can't serve God and money." And he meant any two masters, but he used that as an example. And that's a pretty doggone good example. You'd think he knew what he was talking about. You would think he could have looked into the 21st century and looked at greedy Americans and greedy people throughout the world who money is everything to them. And it certainly is a competing God. It is certainly something that competes for loyalty. He's saying to them, "You're sitting here wavering in your loyalty. But you can't serve both." Reminds me of Joshua 21:15. "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Choose today whom you will serve. No more wavering. The story is told, and I've said it before, and I hope you will bear with me, of a bank that was running this campaign with a logo pin for their bank. A lot of banks need to do some campaigning today. They showed up at their meeting. And the young, energetic, enthusiastic employee of the bank did not have his logo pin on. And all of a sudden he realized it, and someone addressed him about it. And he said, "Doggone it." He said, "I must have left it on my pajamas." Smart thinking. Quick on his feet. I hope you're that loyal. I hope I'm that loyal that I'll wear it to bed, when I shower, when I go to work, when I go to school, when I raise my children, when I try to honor my parents, when I go into the marketplace, that I will serve Him. And everybody around will know the God that I serve. There'll be no doubt. There'll be no wavering. No more wavering. Follow Him. With complete loyalty, follow Him. Elijah says, if He is God, that is, if God is God, and He is, follow Him. If Baal is God, follow Him. Make a choice. We are called to discipleship, folks. And if we are a disciple of Christ and following him, Jesus says we are to take up our cross, we are to die to self, and we are to do that daily and to follow him. You know, when someone took up their cross, I hope you know what that meant. That meant they were going to a certain death. And that's exactly what he's saying. You die and follow me. As long as you are alive and as long as you're desiring to follow yourself or some Baal, you're not following me. But you die to yourself and you die to all other competing loyalties and you follow me without compromise. No compromising. It is to be without compromise, we're to serve the one who served us. After the incident with the golden calf, Moses came down and he asked this question. And I think it's apropos for us today. Who is on the Lord's side? And that's exactly what Elijah's saying. Who's on God's side? We're choosing sides today. And you're either on God's side or you're against him. Jesus said, you're for me or against me. Pretty tough, pretty stiff, pretty stern. But it's true. And I ask you today, whose side are you on? Are you on the Lord's side? Have you chosen this day to serve him under all circumstances, without compromise, with complete loyalty? No matter how difficult or how inconvenient, are you willing to serve him? You looked at the title of your sermon. Yes, some of you say, I've heard you do this before. I think you did. If you were here 6 or 7 years ago. No more mugwumping. Politicians chose this word to describe those who would sit on or straddle the fence and wouldn't go one way or another. But they said this, someone who was wavering between two loyalties had their mug on one side and their womp on the other. I just have to ask you, where's your mug and where's your womp? About as good as I can say it. About as well as I can say it. God does not allow mugwumping amongst his followers. He says, choose you this day whom we will serve. Die to self, take up your cross, and follow me. If the Lord is God, I just ask you today, follow him. Elijah said, if the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. The people did not answer. May I ask you this? Will you answer today? And when you answer, what is your answer? I would say wholehearted, complete loyalty to this God, to serve him in all circumstances without compromise.